Luke 22:14, it says, "When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, 'I've been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' Then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. And he said, 'Take this and share it amongst yourselves. For I'll not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come.' Then verse 19, he took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me.' After the supper, he took another cup of wine and said, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you.'" Let's pray. Father, for your word this morning, sir, we thank you. We thank you that we can hold in our hand your revealed nature and character. I thank you that it's alive and it's working in us today to teach us about you, about ourselves, and about our life in you. I thank you that we'll receive it with faith today, that you'll open our eyes to the wonders of your word in the name of Jesus. Amen. How many ways are there to communicate love? How many ways are there that you can communicate love to someone else? Many, right? Many, many ways. You can say, "I love you." There's physical touch. And this is, you know, not just romantic love, but your love for another person, whether it's a hand on the shoulder or a pat on the back, a hug around the neck, quality time spent together, right? Committing time to one another. Acts of service. You're doing something for someone else. Maybe you cook dinner for them. Maybe you invite them to your house. Right? All these different ways. Maybe you give them a gift. There's all these different ways that we can communicate love. So many, we could just keep going down the list. So you think about somebody that you love. Again, spouse, family member, close friend. Somebody that you love. What would it look like if your communication of love to them, their communication of love to you, was restricted down to just one type? Just one form. That's it. That's all you got, was just one form to communicate love, right? So that would end in much less joy, much less enjoyment, right? If love was only communicated through one method. See, I love my wife, but what if I only told her and I never did anything else? I told her, "Hey, love you," but I never spent time with her. I never touched her as I walked by. I never did anything for her. I never got her any gifts or any presents. How enjoyable is that relationship? That doesn't sound very good, does it? Because the variety of ways that we communicate love bless our heart, and we enjoy that, right? That's a blessing to us. So aren't you glad that God has given us multiple ways and multiple means to experience his love for us, to know his great love for us? That's what we've been talking about with these avenues of grace that God has given us, that we can experience him, that he can communicate his great love for us. So we can experience him, we can pursue him, and we can be loved by him on these different avenues that he's given us, whether it's scripture, we've talked about worship, last week we talked about stewardship or our giving, how we can be generous. And then today, right here out of the book of Luke, we're going to talk about communion. We're going to talk about the Lord's Supper, a way that we can experience the love of God in our life, that he can communicate his love for us. So here in Luke 22, Jesus and the apostles, his disciples, sat down together at the table, and he said, "I've been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. Now, the Passover meal was a big time event in their life. The Passover goes all the way back to the very beginnings of the book, in the book of Exodus. And we'll cover some of that real quick, just so you know where we're coming from. We've talked about Abraham, who was called out from among his family to begin a family of God, for God, by God. He took a man and a woman who had no children in old age, and he gave them a son named Isaac and said, I'm going to bless you, and in you all the nations of the world will be blessed. And Isaac came, and then he had a son named Jacob who had many sons, and one of them was Joseph, who his brothers didn't like him at all, and they sold him into slavery. It's a long, great story about Joseph, but the Lord blessed him even through that, through slavery, through imprisonment. He ended up in Egypt in a position of power, number two to Pharaoh only, and the Lord used him to save the family of God during famine. And then they came in to Egypt, and they lived there for many years, and all of those men that were there at that time died. And then a Pharaoh rose up who didn't know Joseph and who wasn't friendly to the family of Israel and saw them multiplying and being blessed and saw them as a threat and said, we have to address this. Otherwise, they'll turn on us, join our enemies, and we'll be defeated. And so they enslaved the nation then of Israel, the people of Israel there in Egypt, and were cruel and punished them in cruel ways and forced them to build the nation of Egypt for them. And the people cried out, we need help. Cried out to God, we need help. And God rose up a man named Moses and said, you're going to go and you're going to speak to Pharaoh on my behalf, and you're going to tell him that my people will be freed from slavery and they'll be free to go out and worship me. And so he came to Pharaoh and he said, the Lord says to let the people of Israel go. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him? Who is this God that I should obey him? I am the God around here, right? And if you're familiar with the story, God visited plagues on the nation of Egypt to prove to them that he was God Almighty, and to defeat the nation without anybody picking up a sword, right? So you can read about 9 plagues that sound awful that came against the people. And even in the midst of all those plagues coming against the people of Egypt, Pharaoh's heart was still hard and he still wouldn't give in. His heart and his mind was still, who is the Lord that I should obey him? And then, like I said, 9 plagues went by. They were terrible, but the worst was to come, and that was going to be the death of the firstborn son of every family in Egypt, even the animals, the death of the firstborn. And he was warned of that. This is what's coming. Let God's people go. But God even told Moses, he said, Pharaoh's not going to listen. But the people of Israel did listen, because God said, this is coming. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and take from your animals a male goat or lamb. Out of among the best that you have, take a male goat or a lamb. And I want you to kill it, cook it whole, and eat it. And then I want you to take some of the blood and I want you to smear it on the doorpost of your house to mark that house. He said, when you eat this, when you do this, he talked to them like it was a feast that they were going to have. He said, keep all your clothes on. Put your traveling clothes on. I want you to be dressed. I want you to have your shoes on. Put your sandals on. Have your walking stick ready. And don't put yeast in the bread, because you won't have time for it to rise, because you're about to get out of here. And he said, when you smear the blood of this lamb, this goat, on your doorpost, when the death angel passes through Egypt and takes the firstborn of every Egyptian family, it'll pass over your household. And it happened just like God said that it would happen. And he told them, and we won't go there, but I'll read it to you in the book of Exodus, chapter 12 and verse 14. He said, this is a day, this Passover day, this is a day to remember Each year, from generation to generation, you must celebrate it as a special festival to the Lord. He said, you're going to continue to do this. Then he tells them why. He tells them in chapter 13 and verse 9, he says, it'll be a visible sign to you, like a mark branded on your hand or on your forehead. Let it remind you to always recite this teaching, that with a strong hand, the Lord rescued us from Egypt. In verse 14, he said, in the future, your children will ask you, what does all this mean? What does all this mean? And then you will tell them, with the power of his mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, the place of slavery. So you see, the Passover meal was a really big deal to the Jewish people. It happened in the book of Exodus. They were freed. Again, you read it, it's just such an amazing story. Even the plagues that God visited upon them, they were each targeted at one of the gods, the false gods, the lower G gods that the Egyptians worshiped. Each plague was connected to a god to prove to them, your gods are no gods at all. There is one, and he is the Lord. When Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him? He pointed it out time after time after time. And then he defeated an entire nation without anybody picking up a sword. God fought the battle. So Passover was the reminder and observed annually. He even changed their calendar before the Passover, the very first one. When he said, this is what's going to happen in Egypt, he said, your new year starts now. This is now the beginning of your year. When this happens, this will be the beginning of a new day for you. He changed their calendar, so it was such a big deal to them, and he wanted them to reenact it annually, regularly. Why? He said, so you'll remember that the Lord rescued you. You can tell your kids when they ask, the Lord brought us out of slavery in Egypt with the power of his hand. And this was still being celebrated 1,500 plus years later when Jesus and his disciples sat down at the table in Luke chapter 22. Think about that. 1,500 plus years of celebrating this Passover. That's a big deal. Right? We've been celebrating the 4th of July for about 240 something years. 1,500 plus years. That's a big, big deal. And then they sat down at the table. And that it's a big deal up until now, but watch, it's going to get better. Luke 22:14. They sat down at the table together, and Jesus said, I've been eager to have this meal with you. See, Jesus knows it's about to go to another level. Now, they had been together for at least 3 years, so we know that they had celebrated the Passover before, but he said, this one, I've been waiting on this one because it was going to be special. It was, to him, the last Passover meal and the first of something new. It was the first Lord's Supper. He said, I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom. So even Jesus said, guys, this is important. This is a big, big deal. If you look at verse 19, it says, he took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. So this was the bread that they used in the Passover meal. It was without yeast. It was flat, right? Because he wanted it to, God wanted it to symbolize to them, you're not going to have time for the bread to rise. You're going to have to take it as it is. And it symbolized the mighty hand of God defeating the Egyptians so quickly. And then Jesus takes it and he says, this bread that you've been eating each year for your whole life, let me tell you about this bread. And he breaks and he said, this is my body that will be given for you. It would be amazing if he just did that at any regular supper, right? If he just took it at a regular supper and said, hey guys, y'all aren't going to believe this, but watch. I'm going to take this bread and I'm going to show you this is like my body's going to be broken for you. That in itself would be, whoa, that's a big time statement by Jesus. But what he's saying is also in connection with the Passover, in connection with the Passover meal, the hand of God working rescue out of Egypt. Because what he's saying is not only was the hand of God strong enough to work rescue for our people out of Egypt, but now my body's going to be given for you as a rescue from sin and death and the grave. And he said, he echoed what God said in Exodus. He says, continue to do this to remember me. Giving us something physical, something tangible, an act, something we can hold in our hand, something from the Savior for us to remember him by and with. He didn't say this in remembrance of me. He didn't say, think about this in remembrance of me. He said, do this. As often as you do this to remember me. Something physical and tangible. And one thing that I read in studying this is he's given us truth that we can touch. He's given us truth that we can touch, another way of communicating his love. We talked about it. How many ways are there that we can communicate love for one another? So many. And how many ways are there that he can communicate his love for us, that we can experience his love? Not how we prove our love for him. We don't eat communion to try to eat our way towards Christ. But it's an enjoyment and an experience of the love that he's poured out for us, an avenue of grace, a blessed way for us to experience that love. His presence with us at the table and to celebrate his eagerness to join us. See what he told them? I've been very eager to sit down and celebrate, eat this Passover meal with you. And then he took the bread. And he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. So just like Passover, do this to remember me. But he's taking it to a whole new level with this tangible truth that we can touch. And we'll come back to that. But then in verse 20, it says, after supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. It says he took another cup. And what I read is that there were actually four cups in the Passover Seder meal. You'll hear people say that a Seder is to eat the Passover meal just like they would have, that there were four cups, but it only mentions two. Here, it says at the beginning of the meal, he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it and said, take this and share it amongst yourselves. I won't drink it. I won't drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. And then in verse 20, it says, after supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice to you. So he mentions these two cups, and just see this. It seems to represent he handed them the first cup, which would be like the old covenant that they had been partakers of, that they had been citizens under. And then he handed them another cup and says, this is the cup of the new covenant. The new covenant that will be confirmed with my blood. And this is after he's broken the bread and given it to him and said, this is my body, which is given for you. And he says, this is the cup of the new covenant, confirmed with Christ's blood, poured out as a sacrifice for us. What a beautiful avenue to experience and celebrate the Savior's love for us and his saving power at work in our life. Just like the Passover, all the way back in Exodus, 1,500 years before, it was instituted by God so that he would be celebrated and it would be observed by his people for generations. The Lord's Supper, the bread and the cup, was instituted by God, celebrated by his people, the church, until he comes again. He was letting them know that the Passover meal has been fulfilled. I'm here, and now we're going to begin something new. And it's observed and celebrated by his people until he comes again. And just like the Passover, like we read, it's a visible sign and a reminder to recite the teaching that with a strong hand, the Lord rescued us. And that when our children ask us, what does this mean? What are y'all doing with this little cup and this little flatbread? What are y'all doing with this? That we can say, with the power of his mighty hand, the Lord has brought us out of slavery. Because for them in the Passover, it was out of slavery in Egypt. And for us, it's out of slavery to sin. He set the captives free from Egypt and us from our sin by the working of his mighty power. What a communication of love for us. He's giving us something that we can hold in our hand to remember who he is, who we were, and what he's done. That we can sit down at the table just like the apostles did. We can sit down at the table broken for me, given for me. This cup represents the new covenant that I abide under, that was confirmed by Christ when he gave his blood for me. Amen. Amen. I want us to have opportunity. I didn't mention communion earlier. I want us to have opportunity today to take that together, to hold that in our hands together, to take part in an institution that was put into place all those years ago around a table in Jerusalem, but that has carried across the world, that we can sit down at the table together. Amen. So I tell you what, Ethan, will you and Landon help me? Hand it out. Why don't y'all come grab the plates from the front? Just make sure everybody gets one. So there's sometimes some questions, depending on your background with communion, as far as who's eligible to take communion. All who would come to the table to celebrate Jesus are eligible to receive. Amen. If you're not a believer, not a Christ follower, or, you know, you can feel free to let it pass by. You can feel free to take it. You know, if for some reason maybe you hold a different view, it would violate your conscience, you can feel free to let it pass. Now, these elements that they're going to hand out have a little bit different look probably than at this Passover meal that Jesus shared with, bring me one, Landon, that he shared with his disciples. But my favorite part about that and what we read is it said in verse 19, Jesus took some bread. He took some bread. He didn't say he took super special bread. He didn't say he took heaven bread. He just picked up some bread off the table. And then when it got to the cup, it said, he took another cup. He took another cup and he held it forward. So it's not the elements that we hold. And if you're not sure how to open it, it's got two little, the top part pulls off and there's the bread. And then the second layer pulls off and that opens the cup for you. It's not necessarily about what it is that you're holding in your hand as much as the attitude of your heart and the context of the situation. So when we take this together today, it's in a very special context. Just like next week when we talk about baptism, you know, there's a big difference between taking a bath and having a baptism. And they both involve you in the water. But the context and the attitude of your heart and the attitude of the body celebrating the event together is very different, because we'll get to that. next week. But the context for us today is we're able to come to the table together. And this is something we're going to do today, and that I want us to continue to observe as a group. We'll still make it available each Sunday for you to take on your own with your family so that you can take communion. But we're going to do it much more often together, because it gives us a chance to come to the table. That Jesus is that he is present at the table, and he is eager to join us in the celebration of our unity with him. It's communion, celebrating our unity with him. We were brought into union with Christ because of what he did, and then he also set it up as a celebration of our unity together. Because we come to the table together. He doesn't sort us from ahead of the table to the foot of the table. He doesn't set, you know, it's not like at Thanksgiving where you had to go sit at the kids' table even after you were in your 20s. He doesn't sort us like that. We all come to the table in the same position with him. Right? What a blessing to come to the table with him. So what we're going to do, I'm going to lead us in receiving these together. We're going to pray over the bread. We're going to pray over the cup. But first, I want you to notice one more thing. They were celebrating here in Luke 22. They were celebrating the Passover. And he spoke about the bread. And he spoke about the cup. But if you remember in the book of Exodus, there was another very, very, very important element to the Passover, right? Who remembers what it was? Huh? The lamb. The lamb said, take a lamb from among your best, and that'll be the sacrifice. But when he was reclined at the table, he didn't mention the lamb. And that's because the lamb was reclined at the table, preparing to lay his life down for their deliverance. In the Old Testament, he said, take the blood and smear it on the doorpost as evidence or as a sign to say, no, something's already died here. Something died in my place. You can pass over here. Because blood was already shed here. And he was reclined at the table, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who said, this is my body given for you. And this is the cup of the new covenant, the new promise from God that you will enjoy, that you will live under. And it's confirmed with my blood. And it'll be not on the door of your house, but on the door of your heart. Try to open this in front of everybody. All right. Let's take the bread together, and I want to pray over it and bless it, and then we'll receive it together. And the same thing with the cup. Father, thank you that you've given us truth that we can touch, that you've given us a reminder of what we have in you. That we are not alone, but that when we were slaves to darkness, to the sin and the instincts of our flesh, you came for us. That your body was given over for us, broken for us. And out of that sacrifice, we're able to eat and find sustenance for our soul and for our spirit. I thank you that you call us to the table together to celebrate you, your sacrifice, and your victory. That similar to Egypt, you defeated an enemy that we were well under the thumb of, that we had no hope of escaping, and we didn't lift a finger. But it was because of your body broken for us that we could experience freedom. And the might of your hand that delivered us from the taskmaster that we could not escape. Thank you. Thank you for being present with us at the communion table today as we celebrate you and the new life that we have in you. Let's take of the bread together. Father, as we hold the cup, like you held it out at the Passover meal, you invite us to come and drink. To come and drink of the cup of the new covenant, that we're not under the law trying to perform or earn our way to you. But we are under your great grace. Lord, thank you for the position that we find ourselves in, that we don't have to be afraid of death and hell in the grave because blood has been shed on our behalf. The punishment that we were due, that would have spilled our blood in wrath and in punishment for our sins, your blood was poured out in our place. To confirm this new covenant, to prove its legitimacy and authority, your blood was shed. And so we take the cup together, joining you at the table, and we hold it out and we say thank you. We say thank you for your sacrifice for us, that we can find freedom from those things that had us bound, and that we can live a new life in you under this new covenant, Lord, which is so different from what you brought us out of. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your love poured out on us. In the name of Jesus, let's partake together. What a communication of love for us. Andrew, if you'll come, we'll get ready to sing together. You won't have to hold that little plastic cup long. We got a trash can in the back. When you get done, you can just drop that off. But again, how sad would it be if the ones that we love so much only shared, communicated their love for us with a word only and never a touch, never a gift, never time together, never doing anything for us. And we think about all those things like, oh, those bless my heart. And he has given us each one of those. And one of the things he's given us to hold in our hands is communion, to come to the table together, to enjoy the love that he's made available, not just for us as individuals. Again, you can take communion on your own. You can spend time with that on your own, but there's even something more special when we come together to the table, because it's meant to eliminate differences that would otherwise sift us and separate us, and to bring us together as one in him, his body, at the same table. Amen. Would you stand up with me? I'll pray, and then Andrew will lead us in a song as we close out today. And again, we're going to continue to do this, to remember him. Amen. Father, we love you so much. I thank you for all the ways that you have given us to experience and know your love, Father, that we wouldn't neglect them. Lord, forgive us when we have, and strengthen us as we pursue you on these avenues of grace that you've given us to teach us who we were, who you are, what you did in us, and who we are now in you, both individually and together. I thank you. Thank you that you haven't left us here twisting in the wind, not knowing how to live life, God, but you have given us everything that we need for life and godliness in Christ Jesus. I thank you for the communication of your love to us, that we can hold tangible things in our hands and know that your word is true and celebrate its truth together. Lord, I thank you that as we get ready to leave today, that we go in peace and unity together with one another. I thank you, Lord, that you protect us and guide us as we go. And Lord, as we continue to gather together, I thank you that you're eager to join us at the communion table and at every table where we're gathered in your name, glorifying you. I thank you. Thank you, Lord, that as we go, regardless of what we face, that you go with us and you don't leave us alone. You go with us and you don't leave us alone. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name.